Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the program that challenges the notion that at 40, 50, or even 60, all your best years are behind. We are here to help you overcome challenges common to middle age, so that you can look forward to a brighter tomorrow. Like so many middle-aged Americans, are you barely getting by, living from one paycheck to the next, hanging on by a thread? Is there never enough left over after expenses to save for your own retirement or for your children's future? Are you setting the wrong example for your children so that they will grow up to experience financial strains just the same as you? If you're caught in the financial rat race, you may resent the wealthy. I know I once did, especially those with loads of assets who appear to be having a wonderful time living the good life. Conventional wisdom says they got lucky. They inherited a pot of money or simply lucked into some big payout like the lottery that they really don't deserve. Guess what? In most cases, blind luck or inheritance had little or nothing to do with the typical wealthy person's success. As we revealed on this program a couple of weeks back, only 8% of wealth in America is inherited, and fully 80% of wealthy individuals are first-generation wealthy. But that doesn't mean that they weren't taught wealthy habits by their parents. Why do 5% of Americans become wealthy while the rest of us remain poor? Why do wealthy parents raise wealthy children and poor parents raise poor children? Sounds like rich people might be onto something that the remaining 95% of us are not. If you're like me, I'll bet now and then you sit back and fantasize about what it would be like to win a lottery jackpot. Were you to win $100 million lottery in this week's drawing, how would you choose to spend the rest of your life? As many actual lottery winners have learned, the answer is not as easy as it seems. Sudden material riches in no way guarantee lasting joy and gratification. It's fine to buy a lottery ticket and to dream, but please don't sit around idly waiting for a win. To accumulate and truly benefit from wealth, you and I will first need to develop the habits and mindset of a wealthy individual. And guess what? Routinely thinking and behaving like a millionaire will help you to become one. Today's guest has performed extensive research and confirms that the vast majority of wealthy individuals in America are not well off simply because of what he calls dumb luck. My guest is Thomas Corley, an accountant and certified financial planner who is president of a successful accounting firm, and he's also CEO of the Rich Habits Institute, which offers training, seminars, education, and learning sessions. And Tom is also the author of Rich Habits, The Daily Success Habits of Wealthy Individuals. Tom is here today to help us improve the situation, both for us and for our children. Hello, Tom, and welcome to our program.
Hi, Roy. It's good to be here.
Yeah, well, now, many of us in the unfortunate 95%, or some people call it the 99%, the Protest Wall Street thing, envy the wealthy and attribute much of their good fortune to luck. Now, on your website, you appear to agree that the wealthy are lucky, but it's not just dumb luck. Please describe for the listeners the four types of luck and how the wealthy make their own good breaks.
Yeah, well, the whole purpose of writing Rich Habits was really to educate individuals on the things that are really responsible for creating wealth. And they have nothing to do, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, with, inheriting money. They have nothing to do with what I call random dumb luck. Many unsuccessful people, they rationalize that they just don't have good luck or they just aren't lucky. And they argue that in order to be successful, you need to have luck. And I have something to tell them. They're right. All successful people have good luck. But let me elaborate on what I mean. There are two types of good luck. There's the dumb luck that I just mentioned, and then there's something that I uncovered in my research, my five-year research study on wealthy people, and that is that wealthy people create something called opportunity luck.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is dumb luck is a random type of good luck, like winning the lottery or found money or an unexpected inheritance. Opportunity luck, however, is good luck that is the byproduct of doing certain things every day. I like to use this metaphor of the apple orchard. If you think of an apple orchard, you have to prepare the land, you have to plant the seeds, and then you diligently nurture the trees, and then they grow. And after some time, the apple trees begin to blossom and then bear fruit. Well, that fruit is the byproduct of doing the things you needed to do over a long period of time in order for the apples to appear. These apples in the Rich Habits world represent opportunity luck. Successful people do the things that are necessary over the long term in order for opportunity luck to occur in their lives. They live the rich habits every single day. The rich habits are like a magnet for opportunity luck. Now, for poor people, they have something that I call detrimental luck. And detrimental luck is the luck that poor people create. Unsuccessful people have bad habits, and like the rich habits, these bad habits are seeds. They will take root and they'll grow until they bear fruit. Unfortunately, the bad fruit that's birthed by these bad habits brings detrimental luck into the lives of the unsuccessful, and this detrimental luck might be a job loss, investment losses, foreclosure, any of the above. So the point is, if you want success in your life, you need to attract the right kind of luck, and living the good daily success habits, or what I call rich habits, virtually guarantees that you're going to attract the right kind of luck. And here's the other thing, Roy. It's a twofer. When you adopt good habits, good daily success habits, and get rid of your bad habits, that's like hitting a double in baseball.
Yeah.
It doubles your chances for success. And this is one of the secrets that I uncovered in my research. Wealthy people understand this. They have to get rid of their bad habits, and then they have to reinvent themselves and create good daily habits. Many of the wealthy individuals are lucky in the sense that they had parents who taught them these rich habits. So my purpose of my book, Writing Rich Habits, is to for those individuals that were not fortunate enough to be born in a wealthy household, now you've got all of the information you need. You can actually step into the footsteps of the wealthy on a daily basis. My book, Rich Habits, helps individuals understand exactly what to do on a daily basis.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that the people, when they say, oh, they're always in the right place at the right time, they most likely, those people place themselves there. They're not just dumb luck. They place themselves there through knowledge, instinct. They network with the right people. They have a positive attitude. You know, when you think about attitude, others want to make breaks for positive men and women if you ask nicely, but not for complainers. Nobody wants to make a break or promote a complainer.
No, and that's the other thing I uncovered, is that wealthy people like to surround themselves with people who are of the like-minded individuals. They don't like people who are down, who are negative, who are always complaining. They want to surround themselves with upbeat, optimistic people who are really interested in helping each other out, going beyond, above and beyond. These are the people they want to surround themselves with, and these are the relationships that they build. They build what I call relationship credits. With these people, they don't want to build relationship credits with people who are unsuccessful or poor, because they generally have their reasons why they're negative and poor.
Yeah, that's very true. On a related subject, on your website, you make an excellent distinction between wishes and goals. In fact, I recommend that anyone that's interested should go to your website and look at that. Far too many of us at middle age wish for a brighter tomorrow and dream of unrealistic dreams, but we make absolutely no progress in getting there, and pretty soon we probably just give up on our dreams. Please describe what we need to do, like the wealthy do, to transform our wishes into solid goals.
Yeah, my research shocked me with respect to goals, because I had always been taught by my parents, in school, and by some mentors that that you had to set goals, and that the definition of a goal was some target,
yeah,
some objective. What I uncovered in my research is that's absolutely false. The wealthy people do not make wishes. What they do is their goals are tied to action.
Yeah.
It's both mental and physical activity that makes a goal a goal. Let me give you an example, Roy. One of the learning sessions that I put on a short while ago, we had in the class was a very wealthy individual. He was an insurance agent, and one of his goals, his so-called goals, was for 3 years in a row, he was trying to increase the life insurance commissions in his company by $100,000. And after I went through the goal-setting process of wealthy people, he came up to me and he said, I realize now why I haven't been achieving my goal. It's because I've been making a wish, not setting a goal. So what we did is we set out. It took about an hour, but I sat down with this individual, and I like to look at the wish as like an artichoke. You've got to start with a wish, but now what you want to do is you want to peel back those leaves and get to the heart of the artichoke, which is the required activity that will make that will allow you to realize your goal. And in his case, when we peeled back the artichoke, what we found the activity to be was 10 telemarketing calls a day.
Yeah.
That was the goal, not $100,000 in commissions, but
yeah,
10 telemarketing phone calls a day. And I can tell you this, because I know it's now a fact, it's now history. This individual blew past his $100,000 in 6 months. In fact, he was over $150,000 in the 6 months, and I'll tell you why. Because once he realized that we were spot on this goal setting process, once he realized that was the right goal to set, he amped up his telemarketing calls to 30 a day.
Oh, wow.
And he finished the year with over $200,000 in additional life insurance commissions, and he's going now. He's into phase two. He's ramping it up even more, and he's hiring more people. So this is why studying the wealthy is so critical in understanding how to be successful in life, because they have all the answers. They may not know that they have the answers, and that's why it took me 5 years to do this. Well, I found an interesting thing. Wealthy people didn't even understand why they were wealthy. Oftentimes,
that's very true.
And so that's why they call it the secret to financial success. Even wealthy people don't understand why they're wealthy.
Yeah, I read that article about that life insurance salesman on your Tom has an article called Goals on his website, www.richhabits.net. I think that's what it is. And that's, to me, was one of the best explanations of the difference between wishes and goals that I've ever seen. And I would highly recommend that article. It's free.
It is free, yeah.
Thing about it, but well, I know we don't have time for you to describe all 10, but can you highlight two or three of the most important habits of the rich? I guess you have touched on a couple of them, but maybe you could give us a couple more that.
Let's touch on the most important rich habit, and that is rich habit number one. That's why it's number one. It's really what I call the reinvention habit. What you have to do in trying to transform yourself from eking out a living to becoming successful in life, financially successful, is you need to sit down and you need to perform a self-assessment of your bad habits.
Yeah.
And I teach this in my classes, and I teach this in the book, how to do it. What you do is you list all of your bad habits. You have to be brutally honest with yourself. What are the habits that are holding you back in life? And here's the beauty of what I uncovered is it's easy to create new good habits by starting out with your bad habits. All you need to do is invert your bad habits. And let me give you an example, Roy. Let's say one of your bad habits is you watch too much TV.
How did you know?
Well, you're standing in a very long line of people,
yeah,
so
I'm sure
that's why I focused on that one. What I found is wealthy people spend no more than an hour a day watching TV. They're too busy doing
what
other things.
What a horrible life.
Yeah. Although you see them, they have a smile on their face all the time, so they yeah. must know that they're doing something right. Well, you can take your bad habit of I watch too much TV, and you can invert it, flip it on its head, and now create a new good daily habit, which is I watch no more than 1 hour of TV a day. If you take all of your bad habits and invert them like this, it could be eating. I eat too much. You can transform that to
habit, yeah.
Right. Well, a lot of us have that.
We eat out too much and eat those starchy foods at the chain.
That's right. And then you can invert that to I eat no more than 2,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
And the purpose of doing this is you come up with your new good daily habits, and then in the book I teach how you can create a rich habits checklist, and that's important because there has to be some accountability at the end of the day. You need to be honest with yourself. Yeah, and if you're not checking off these rich habits that you're following, then you're just simply wasting your time. Sometimes success comes dressed up in really ugly work clothes. And I always like to use this metaphor. I said, imagine if God came down from heaven, and he said, I have 10 things that will absolutely turn you from a failure to success, but each one of those 10 things requires work. I guarantee you a percentage of the individuals who were just given the secret to financial success by God would turn away from them because it's just too much effort.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they'd have to give up too much TV, or they have to give up some instant gratification that they
right, and that's fine because the point here is then at least you know it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's not the 1% or the wealthy or Wall Street. It's you.
Yeah, that whole Wall Street thing was so weird because they really didn't have anything they put their fingers on. It's just somebody else's fault that they're not as happy as the 1% are.
That's right, and that at the center of their angst is the argument that the ones to blame for their financial woes were the wealthy in Wall Street, and what I uncovered in
conspiracy.
Yeah, that's right. That's even how I refer to it sometimes when I'm on the radio. Is it's they think there's a conspiracy out there, but you brought up the 8%. I have a different percentage of individuals that. Inherit money. It's off of a study done by Edward Wolf from the NYU. It's about 14.7%. It's a 2007 study based on the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But the point is that 85% or 92%, whatever the number you want to pick, but it's we're in the right range. They create their own wealth in one generation. In other words, wealth comes and goes in one generation, and that wealth that comes and goes in one generation is about be somewhere between 85 and 92%. So the question is then, why is it that wealthy parents whose children grow up to be successful, why is it that they're successful? And the answer to that is it has nothing to do with the money that they inherit. It has everything to do with the good daily success habits that they learned from their parents.
Exactly.
And these habits stay with them into their adult lives, and then they pass them on to the next generation. It's what I call the generational cycle of success. Now, poor people do the opposite thing or something similar, but it has the opposite effect. They pass along bad habits to their kids, and this creates a generational cycle of failure, and that's what the 99% are experiencing.
Yeah.
Their parents just didn't teach them the right things, so they're struggling in life.
So they want somebody else to blame because so few people want to take responsibility for the fact that they don't want to change or they want excuses for not changing. It's interesting because in my book, I start out midlife renewal by identifying all the negative aspects of life, which is like you having identified negative habits. You start from the bad and then you recognize what the problems are, and then you can reverse those problems by working consciously to offset them. So that's a very good way to start, I would think.
That's right. You're spot on.
Well, most of our listeners are probably in their 40s and 50s, since this is called middle age can be your great age. So
right.
Statistics demonstrate, as you've, I'm sure, read and I've read, that most of us are woefully prepared for retirement, At this late date, can I begin only now to adopt rich habits and still accumulate enough wealth to retire in 10 to 15 years? Is there still time, or am I sort of already out of luck?
No, I tell you what, Roy, this is the beautiful thing about the rich habits. One of the things that I'm discovering right now, because I've been following the Rich Habits for 3 years, I like many, I was raised in a not a wealthy household. I never learned any of the good daily success habits that wealthy parents teach their kids. I stumbled along on the self-improvement rich habit. That was just luck. I was trying to pass the CPA exam, and I was looking for anything to help me get over the humps psychologically, and that's when I began my self-improvement course in life, and it stayed with me my whole life. I went on to get my CFP, my master's in tax. I'm continuing, always trying to improve myself. Well, you know, success like failure is just a process.
Yeah.
And in order to be successful in life, you don't have to follow all of the 10 rich habits. You can adopt 3 or 4 of them. In fact, I had a friend of mine who called me up, and he said, you know, Tom, I've been trying to follow the rich habits, but I'm only getting through 40% of them a day, and I feel horrible. And I said, Pat, congratulations, because I'm only doing 30%, and I wrote the book.
You start from zero, and you go to 40%. Look, the plus, not the negative.
Yeah, and so I told him, I said, look, you know, the more you do, of course, the quicker and the greater your chances of success. But the beauty of this is it only takes 1 or 2 to really trip the wire or what I call create the avalanche of success event.
Yeah, I like that snowflake analogy, that one of these little flakes fall down and they create the positive avalanche over time.
That's exactly what it is. It's incremental, and it doesn't take a long time. Now, you know, when people tell me, you know, when they're in their 50s, I have a client that's working on the Rich Habits right now. He's in his 60s, and, you know, before he started, he said, you know, I want to do this, but I feel it's too late. And I said, you know, Bob, I said, Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was into her 80s. And I said, you certainly can adopt the Rich Habits. And so where if you don't do it, where are you going to be 5 years from now anyway?
Colonel Sanders was pretty old, too, when he started fried chicken.
That's right. That's spot on there. You know, that's a good point, Roy. That's a great story, by the way, of Colonel Sanders.
And then there was old Clara Peller with Where's the Beef?
Yeah. It's
old lady.
Look, you know what? You can transform your life. There are wealthy people that become wealthy. I don't want to say overnight, because it's never overnight.
No,
but it can happen within a 5-year period if you do the right things. And if you're, you know, one of the beauties about, you know, one of the rich habits is the what I call the career-related self-improvement rich habit. And one of the beauties of that rich habit is that you gain industry knowledge. You really get to know what's going on in your industry, and because you read books, you read newsletters, you read periodicals, you really get your finger on the pulse. And what happens is you start to, because you're doing all of this reading, and wealthy people do 30 to 45 minutes of this stuff a day, you really gain a keen understanding of your industry, and it helps you, because you could look at your industry and say, you know what, like I did, this is an area in my industry that's really growing, and I'm in this other area. And so I took one of the rich habit, and I shifted started shifting our firm over to financial planning. And we're having great success, and it's increasing our revenues, and our clients are happier. So this is why it's important to engage in career-related self-improvement in your industry. You get to understand it better, and then you can shift. It's easier to shift and go left or right and improve your status in life.
Yeah, years ago I was in the insurance industry, and I went to work for a conglomerate that had all kinds of things. It was the old Continental Group, formerly a can company,
right.
And they owned a bunch of insurance companies, which they'd bought out, and I was the insurance expert in the home office. I was a staff guy, but because I was constantly reading up on the industry, I was making frequent presentations to both the chairman and the vice chairman of the company on a regular basis, because I was the guy they called on when they wanted to know something about insurance. And networking with top executives like that obviously is a big plus in your career. And it
yeah Yeah, you stumbled on the that rich habit, that, and you know what I found out in my research is that wealthy people use four strategies in their career-related self-improvement rich habit, and that is read, write, speak, and do.
Yeah.
Reading, you know, gains you knowledge base, and you saw it for yourself when people around you perceive you to have a greater knowledge than they do. They look at you as the expert, and next thing you're knowing, you're doing presentations, speaking engagements.
Yeah.
Now you're talking to industry groups. You may even begin writing. So it kind of is a catalyst, the reading and gaining the knowledge base for the writing and the speaking, and then you become an expert in your industry. So they use those strategies intentionally, and that's why they are at the top of the food chain in their careers, and anybody can do this.
Well, the million-dollar question for me is somebody that's 45, 55 has over 20 years of adult life, and then we're talking about those that aren't currently following the rich habits. They've been just getting by all these years. The million-dollar question, how do you miraculously change your mindset and adopt rich habits at 45 or 55? That's the kind of the hooker for me.
Well, the beauty of what I uncovered and what some of the people who are following the rich habits have articulated to me, confirmed to me, is that the mindset change is the most important thing that has to occur. It only takes 30 days for you to change your mindset. Now, the snowflake metaphor, that takes a little bit longer for the benefits of changing your habits to occur. But when your mind shift changes, and it changes within about 30 days, it's like drinking a magic elixir, because then you feel like you, for the first time in your life, you have some control over your destiny.
Yeah, and you're CEO of you, as I like to put it.
That's right. And there's no better feeling in the world when you're walking around feeling, you know, hey, I'm doing something really good. I feel like I'm moving in the right direction with these new good daily success habits. And then good things start to happen. I told you that this opportunity luck is like a magnet. The rich habits is like a magnet for opportunity luck. You start to see this opportunity, the opportunities for luck to occur in your life because you're doing the right things, and it does happen. It may take a couple years. It may take you 5 years. It may take you 3 years. It may take you 6 years. I don't know. It all depends. But the point is it gives you the toolkit.
Yeah.
To change your life and to identify if you're even in the right career or in the right industry, because you could quickly assess your industry to determine, because you've got a knowledge base now that you didn't have before, whether or not it's the right industry to be in, if there's going to be enough profit in it for you. And I spoke to over 1,500 educators one time about 2 years ago, and one of the teachers came up to me. They weren't particularly happy with my presentation, because they didn't like the idea that they thought I was selling something that wasn't true. And they said to me, listen, if I'm a bus driver and I read Rich Habits, are you telling me that I'm going to be all of a sudden start to become successful in life? And I said, no, but what I'm hoping is after reading Rich Habits, you'll want to stop being a bus driver.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's so much of that. The future success depends on visualizing the person you want to become, and the more detail you put into the visualization that you do, you start acting and behaving like the wealthy individual, or in the particular function that you want to be performing, or the company you want to be working for, or in the promotion you want to get, and it really encourages, and it obviously isn't instantaneous, but over time you start becoming that person. And you interact with the kind of people you need to interact with to get there.
That's right. It's all a process. Failure, like success, is a process. And you're better off having the success process. The problem is that there really hasn't been a book that tells you this is what your routines need to be. You know, Roy, you probably read a lot of self-help books. And one thing that always frustrated me is that when I'm done with it, I feel highly motivated, but I don't know what to do.
You never find that magic formula.
When I wrote Rich Habits, when I did began the research, and when I finished the research and I began writing the book, my entire focus, and it took three iterations of me writing my book, three manuscripts before I felt I got it right. What I wanted to accomplish was, this is what you need to do from the minute you wake up until the minute that you close your eyes and go to bed. These are the things you need to do, and if you do these things, if you walk in the footsteps of the wealthy by doing these specific habits, by this routine, you'll be successful. Then it leaves nothing to chance. You understand, either I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. One other thing, we're just about out of time, but you make such an important point that it goes from generation to generation. And I know you have a nice little quiz for parents to evaluate whether they're doing a good job with teaching their children rich habits. And given the way children are today, when they turn 14 or so, they get smart and they know it all. And they play video games all day and they want instant gratification and stuff. So how do you go about teaching your children, other than example, obviously, is the first way you do it, but how do you get two kids these days to teach them that really it is a good thing to become wealthy and to develop those habits?
Well, I think one of the fundamental things that is missing in a conversation that we're not having with our kids is really for them to understand what the American way of life is and what the American dream is. I've spoken to 2,000 kids over the last couple of years, high school kids, and I always start out with my speech with, can somebody give me the definition of the American dream? And 90% of the kids get it wrong. Now, that bothers me because that means, number one, they're not learning what the American dream is at home, and that, number two, they're not learning what it is in school. If you understand that the American dream is about unlimited opportunity and freedom and your ability to pursue wealth in this country, unlike any other country in the world, if they understand what the American dream is, then that's a good starting point. The next thing that has to happen is that parents need to take control of what's going on in the house with their kids. Their kids cannot be spending, as they are right now, 8 hours a day on social media. This is a real statistic. They did a study on this, and they estimate that kids spend between 7 and 8 hours a day on Facebook and Twitter and things like that.
That scares me to death. No face-to-face anymore. It's all
tweeting. Right. That's right. And what's happening, Roy, is we're raising our kids by being negligent parents and not coming down on this social media, stopping our kids. They shouldn't spend more than an hour a day on this nonsense.
That's and true. It's tough to crack down on them when they're away from home so much doing it, too.
Well, the only way you can control it is if they're in your house.
Yeah.
If your kids are not in your house, I don't know how you can control it, but if they're in your home and you're raising them, then you have a pretty good idea if they're spending too much time on the internet, on Facebook, and you can clamp down on that. It's up to the parents. If the parents don't do that, then these kids are going to just wind up in the 99%. Yeah. But what's going on right now, Roy, this trend, this Facebook, this social media epidemic, I call it, is creating a new type of kid. And these kids are going to grow up, and they're not going to know how to look someone in the eye. They're not going to know how to talk to someone. They've become victims of what I call efficient communication versus effective communication. And when they go out to get a job and the prospective employer can't get them to look them in the eye or have the social skills that they need, like shaking hands, smiling, being attentive, they because they're too distracted by the very nature of their upbringing with the social media stuff, these kids are going to struggle in life.
Yeah,
and so I see this social media as an epidemic of gigantic proportions. It's a horrible, bad habit that parents need to get end. If they don't end it, then they're raising their kids incorrectly. And here, the other thing, you brought it up, and I'm going to mention it on myrichhabits.net website. website that parents can download the parent success quiz to find out if your kids are on the right track, you're raising your kids properly, if they're on the right track or on the wrong track in life.
Well, my kids are grown, but if they weren't, I'd definitely take that test. Well, tell people how they can get your book, Rich Habits, The Daily Success Habits of Wealthy Individuals, because I would highly recommend that book.
Sure. The best place to go is on my website, richhabits.net. And then there's you can just there's a section. I have other books, but Rich Habits is in the folder for buy books. And then you can go on Amazon, on Google. I'm sure it's in bookstores around the country. But the best, easiest way to get it is at richhabits.net. You can download it immediately.
Yeah, well, I would highly recommend both Tom's book and my own book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, because I'm talking about regaining a positive attitude in midlife, and you need that, and along with these rich habits that you need to make sure that you're financially secure and you're taking control over your own destiny and you're going in the direction where you want to be going. And thank you so much, Tom, for being with us today. You've certainly given us a lot of food for thought. I wish we had another hour or two to talk because we're just touching the surface on so many of these things. But thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks, Roy, for having me on. It was an honor to be on your program.
Thank you. This week, we are introducing a new feature on our show. From time to time, I will scour the internet and other sources to discover websites, products, and services which may be of interest to you, our listeners. We will then ask a representative from that company or enterprise to come on for a brief interview to tell us what they're all about. This week's guest is from an organization with a unique web address, myhappier.com. Our guest is founder Doug Hench. Hello, Doug, and welcome to our show.
Hi, Roy, and thanks for having me.
Please tell listeners what MyHappier is all about and about the services and charter you have and the services you offer.
Sure. MyHappier is a place where you can measure, track, and improve your happiness. We developed a proprietary method for helping people get their thoughts out in a way that we know, based on the research from the last 40 years, helps people improve their optimism, their resilience, the level of positivity in their lives, and their overall life satisfaction. My goal as an entrepreneur and the founder of MyHappier is to just make a little dent in the universe. I've been running workshops for years where I get in front of everything from 25 to 30 people to up to 300 talking about these same concepts. But it dawned on me that I had to reach more people because of the times we're going through, the relevance of this research, and how much it can really help people.
Yes, and I noticed on your website that you have a free test that people can take to determine their level of happiness. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. All you need to do is register with your email address and a password, and within 3 minutes, you'll get feedback on how happy you are. And we're looking at a couple of areas. We allow people to learn a little bit more about their overall happiness. But what we're looking at is, a person's resilience, how many and how much they have in terms of supportive relationships, how much positivity is in their lives, are they engaged, are they meaning? And the way we've structured the questions, we get a real accurate look at how happy you are right now, and then you also get a chance to compare that to the rest of the population.
Boy, that's interesting. And I noticed on your website you say happier people are healthier, they stay married longer, they're more creative, they make more money, they engage in more acts of charity, and they live longer. So it sounds like it's a pretty good idea to be happy.
Roy, it's really not a bad idea. In fact, one of the things that I tell people is that happiness is not just a state of mind. It's a resource. It's something that we should recognize helps us accomplish our goals. And in fact, there's one really simple study that was done several years ago where they looked at a company that had a massive layoffs. And what we did was we asked them to write about their emotions for several days. And the people who actually did engage in this activity were three times as likely to get a new job within just a couple of months.
I'll be darned. Well, certainly your objectives are the same as ours, a positive second half for people in the middle of life, especially those who've been what we call sleepwalking through life and aren't really happy or satisfied with their job or their life today. Tell us a little about some of the services you offer to people who, say, flunked the test or are not as happy as they'd like to be.
Yeah, well, Roy, those are the people that are going to get the most benefit. In fact, they're going to get, to go along with what you're trying to do, they're going to get the wake-up call, right? Oh. This is the alarm that's going to be set for them. And in just 5 minutes a day, they get a different exercise on My Happier that will help them think in a more grateful manner. It will help them forgive other people that they may harbor some anger towards. It can help them prioritize their values. It can help them clarify goals and create a more optimistic future. And again, one of the most important things that we put into the design is that this can be done in just 5 minutes a day.
Boy, that sounds right up the alley of what people should be looking at, and I would highly recommend that people go to your website. Tell them what it is again.
It's myhappier.com, and if they have any questions or comments, I'm more than happy to field emails at doug@myhappier.com. I'll get back to you within 24 hours, and I look forward to making my little dent in the universe, and I hope that we get some people to give it a shot.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, listeners, for joining us again on our program, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.